Live from NPR News, I'm Shea Stevens. A veteran U.S. Capitol Police officer has died of injuries he sustained in the insurrection against the U.S. Capitol. WAMU's Daniela Cheslow reports that the chief of U.S. Capitol Police is resigning over security failures during the attack.
Chief Stevenson will resign effective January 16th, according to an official at the U.S. Capitol Police. His officers were quickly overwhelmed on Wednesday as a pro-Trump mob of thousands approached the U.S. Capitol and broke inside. Sun said he would step down after the U.S. Capitol Police Union and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called for him to resign. AP reported the Pentagon and the Justice Department offered backup to the Capitol Police ahead of the demonstrations, but Sun turned them down. Sun said he had planned for a free speech demonstration and did not expect the violent attack, even though protesters had discussed extreme actions on social media. For NPR News, I'm Daniela Cheslow.
President Trump is no longer telling supporters that the November election was stolen. NPR's Tamara Keith reports that Trump is acknowledging his loss in a new video posted on social media.
After weeks of misleading his supporters into believing there was a way to reverse the election, Trump has now come as close as he likely will to a concession.
A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power.
He added that he knew his voters may be disappointed, but urged Americans to unite. Earlier in the video, Trump responded to the insurrection that followed his remarks Wednesday, telling supporters to go to the Capitol.
Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem.
Trump did not acknowledge the role that his own actions played in Wednesday's events. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
Several administration officials are resigning in protest of the Capitol riot. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos says she's leaving her post today. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao says Monday will be her last day. A Trump loyalist is conceding her loss in a special runoff election in Georgia. Senator Kelly Loeffler was unseated by Democratic challenger Raphael Warnock. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Stephen Fowler has more.
Loeffler was appointed in 2019 to fill the remainder of Johnny Isaacson's term that ends in 2022. In a video message, Loeffler said she was honored to serve as a senator.
Unfortunately, we came up slightly short in the runoff election. And earlier today, I called Reverend Warnock to congratulate him and to wish him well in serving this great state.
Warnock and fellow Democrat John Ossoff will be sworn in after county and state election officials certify the results in the coming weeks. The victory by both men swings control of the Senate to the Democrats. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Fowler in Atlanta.
This is NPR News. The Commerce Department says the U.S. trade deficit jumped 8% in November to $68.1 billion as a surge in imports overwhelmed a smaller increase in exports. The trade gap through the first 11 months of 2020 was nearly 14% higher than the same period a year earlier. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations will travel to Taiwan next week, a trip that will likely anger China. Kelly Kraft will be the third senior U.S. official to visit the island this year. NPR's John Ruwich has more.
Kraft will be in Taiwan from January 13th to 15th. A statement on the website of the U.S. mission to the U.N. says she will reinforce the U.S. government's, quote, strong and ongoing support for Taiwan's international space. The U.S. does not have diplomatic relations with Taiwan, and Taiwan is not a member of the U.N. The Republic of China, as it's officially known, was ejected in 1971 to make way for the communist-run government of the People's Republic of China. Still, the Trump administration has tried to deepen ties with the island while taking a tougher stance against Beijing. Kraft's visit follows trips to Taiwan this year by Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar and Undersecretary of State Keith Kroc. John Ruwich, NPR News.
A South Korean court is ordering the Japanese government to compensate a dozen women who were forced to work as sex slaves during World War II. The South Korean plaintiffs filed suit in 2013. They each stand to receive the equivalent of roughly $91,000. Roughly 20 other women are awaiting the outcome of a similar lawsuit. I'm Shea Stevens. This is NPR News.
Support.